clash of cultures, and balance of work and family. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
Hi, this is Scott Nelson of WGTD, and this is the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show. In this segment, we're talking the integration of Fab Lab and graphic arts. So, John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Yeah, but before we do that, before you jump in, Steve, we got to get a big shout out to Scott Nelson. He is our host here, but he also is the engineer behind the scenes. So the next time you see Scott, pat him on the back, tell him how awesome the show is. And remember, you can always connect with us. We're at fablab@gtc.edu. We really want to hear from you.
So historically, when we started looking at the Fab Lab, the evolution of the Fab Lab at the SC Johnson IMET Center started off with the mechanical design program. That's where we got our first 3D printer years ago. And much like computers used to be these huge bank of rooms that would process a little bit, and then they all shrunk down to little computers that operated, that was our first 3D printer. It was this huge megalith thing that occupied a third of our classroom. And it all evolved, but that's where we started. So the Fab Lab, the evolution of it, was always associated with engineering programs. That was the motive behind the development of what we call now the Fab Lab. But as we developed, we realized there was more opportunity for other areas. And then when John came on board, we were able to expand on those. And we have an awesome guest speaker here today. We got Susan LeCann from the graphics design program. And so welcome, Susan.
Hello. Yeah, nice to be here.
Give us a little background about yourself.
Please.
Jump in.
I'm going on to 30 years of teaching here at Gateway. And of course, when I started, it was very different. But we've always been a very technology-driven program. Our students do about 95% of their work on the computer. And as the program evolved, we got involved in 3D software and those sorts of things. I kind of feel like I grew in my skill set with the program as we took on new technologies, and that would include 3D and Fab Lab kind of things. I have a background in both art and science, and so for me, that's always been a fascinating connection.
So what I'm fascinated over is when we brought John in to help run the Fab Lab, that's when the two of you started talking. Can you tell me about that initial conversation between the two of you and how the spark of the idea of associating graphic arts with the Fab Lab actually developed?
I think you were using it before I got there even, and it was one of those things. But if you think about graphic design involved computers, you know, probably from the start. And you think of graphic designers as drawing conventionally. And we did a digital art show a couple segments back. You guys can all go back and find that online. And we have artists that started integrating technology into what they were doing from an artistic point of view. But when I first got there, and this is a really fun fact, Sue was actually in my interview when I interviewed for the job. And of course, having an art degree in my background, I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing at an engineering facility? And then Sue, you were gangbusters. I don't know. We probably had some history even before Gateway that I wasn't even aware of. And you're like, oh yeah, I know you. I remember this and that. But give us a little bit of background. Where did it come from? How did you get out there? When did you realize the program?
We started getting involved in our program with having students experiment with 3D software because they were being asked in the industry to know some 3D software. And I would say a couple years after that started, we started to think about how can we get our students involved in some of the other processes like 3D printing. This would have been before you were hired. We went out to the Fab Lab and we had the students do an initial project where they created a character. And they first did that in two dimensions, doing all the traditional design work that you would typically have students do in a design program. And then we hopped into a 3D program and had them create it that way. And this also pushed our students to get a lot more involved and aware of the technical aspects of their work. So before we started doing this, you know, they would create something in Blender, let's say, and it would be 10 feet by 10 feet because they were paying absolutely no attention to the measurements because nobody at that time was thinking about printing it. We were mostly doing animation and that sort of thing. So when they had to kind of really think about that part of it, it also added a really great focus for them on the technical aspects of things, and to see their character actually printed was really cool. At the time, we had a course called Biz Squad. And so sometimes we would also get involved in prototyping. In some cases, the students in the graphic design program would find themselves working with a student in one of the engineering programs to create a prototype. And then after we had the prototype, we might move on and do the package design for the client. So it really got them involved in a lot of real life experiences and not so focused on just that sort of very narrow, what does a graphic designer do? Because we all know when they go out in the workforce, they're going to be working with all different kinds of people, and things like prototyping and working with engineers comes up as just something that happens.
Yeah.
And what was really cool about that time period, like I said, this all started the Fab Lab, pre-Fab Lab, started with the mechanical design program. So when you'd walk into the Fab Lab in that time period, you'd see gears, you'd see mechanisms and stuff like that. And then suddenly one day we're starting to see all these animated characters show up and we're like, what? And it was so cool just to see it. But it was really nice because there was a dimension to it now that we could see an application beyond just simply a mechanical design process, because the 3D printing was awesome and it still is. It allows a student to contextualize their drawing inside a software. So they have these parts and we can print them out and we can see how the parts fit together. But that brought a whole new dynamic to what the Fab Lab could do.
So the idea is, and I'm really glad that you mentioned it, Sue, when you said they get a little bit better understanding of some of the other areas and the other fields that are involved with what they're doing with graphic design. And from what I'm taking now, and you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, you've always used computers and technology in graphic design. And I don't think the field was always that way. I know I graduated a billion years ago, but back in the 80s, there was a lot of hand drawing that was still done. And that was a big revolution in arts when people started doing drawings on computers. So the fact that you had embraced the Fab Lab by the time I got there, that was, I think, a little bit inspiring for me as well, because I'm like, well, here's a discipline that you wouldn't normally see in a technological environment. Mm-hmm. And here they are using it, applying it. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that when students do that, when they come in and they're thinking one way and they do a 3D print or three-dimensional or 3D CAD software where they're designing, it's going to affect the way they think, and then they're going to go back to their creative process, and that's going to kind of affect their creative process as well. So it kind of is like a full circle thing for them, I would think.
Definitely, and I think the other really interesting thing that it focuses students on in the graphic design program is the materials part. Well, I've made this 3D print. What can I do with it now? Can I paint on it? Can I sand it? Are there some things I can do with my design work involving the laser engraver? So some of the other equipment that you have at the Fab Lab. Can we make some t-shirts? You know, it opens us up beyond our lab, which is very much like a lot of graphic design labs. It's focused on the computer itself, and then we might print to 2D devices for, you know, an inkjet printer or a laser printer, but we don't really get to see our work beyond that until we go out into the world and actually work as a designer. So it's a really expansive thing for the students, I think, to see that in action. Some of our students actually have their own 3D printers now. That's a new thing that I'm seeing recently. Yeah, they buy their own. They're that kind of into it. When we first started doing it, 3D printers were actually very new. And in fact, I got training on the Dremel equipment when I first started bringing students over. And it was intimidating for the students initially. Mm. So it was a really great exposure for them. And to be able to say on their resume that they've experienced working with a 3D printer and that they know some 3D software was a really powerful tool for them too.
Now, a question for you, John. At the SC Johnson IMAT Center, where the Fab Lab's located, do we still offer intro training to do use a 3D printer in case somebody out there wants to buy one?
Yeah, intro training is available on all equipment. 3D printers have become very popular. So we do get a lot of requests, people going, hey, I bought this 3D printer, because now they're a lot more affordable. And my favorite saying is, it's basically the toaster oven of the new millennium. Everyone's got one and you use it for whatever. But there's also, you know, laser engraving and desktop CNC. All of the basic tenets of what MIT called out in the original Fab Lab 5. But you should be able to find it, training.gtc.edu, or you can always email us direct if you're interested in training on this equipment.
And what was that email address again?
gtc.edu. And it's training.gtc.edu is where you can find workshops.
Or you could always contact the Fab Lab.
Contact the Fab Lab. You can call us at fablab.gtc.edu. You can email me directly. You can always just search Gateway Fab Lab online, and you'll find our page.
Exactly.
Very now, easy.
Back to what you were saying before, two things. One, it was really cool seeing the integration because the Fab Lab allowed you to expand beyond just your classroom. And that's what we saw with our engineering programs also. It allowed us to expand beyond just what we were doing and get a better understanding of how things fit together before we went out and actually manufactured it. But the other thing that I was amazed at the time with the Biz Squad was the fact that you were reaching out and we were having cross coordination between different engineering students and business students helping use their skill sets to solve a solution.
And I hope we can get that going again because I think it was such a great partnership. We oftentimes in Biz Squad, we had entrepreneurs who came in, had a new product idea, and their initial first desire was to have someone create this for them in three dimensions so that they could see what it looked like, so they could work on the packaging and the marketing and that kind of thing. And oftentimes it led us to a connection with an engineering student because the only way to really truly design a prototype for a lot of things is to really get a working model, which sometimes goes beyond the 3D printer. There's a lot of other tools that our students weren't familiar with and your students were.
Right. And in Fab Lab, do you offer training like in Tinkercad?
Yes. CAD software has become very popular and very intuitive. Tinkercad's nice because you don't have to really understand how to set up an environment, how to pick out a plane, how to generate a two-dimensional shape in order to emboss it into a three-dimensional shape. And this is a trend that you're seeing in a lot of design software. We call it, it's becoming more homogeneous. So the tools you learn in one drawing program are probably going to be similar to the tools as you go to another. I started out, I was very intimidated by software, but you learn one or two, and now I'm up to about a dozen different softwares I use.
Yeah, and that's what's really cool about Tinkercad, because it gives you, at the Fab Lab over at the SC Johnson IMAT Center, the ability to actually express yourself, to have that initial rough prototype. But then if we need to, we have engineering courses and everything that helps in SolidWorks to evolve that even more to get that actual real prototype dimensionally and accurately laid out and developed.
Yeah, and it's been helpful for us because what graphic design did for us was it made that little connection to, okay, how do we connect with other disciplines? How do we connect with other programs? And what we found is, and we'll talk about this in a minute, Sue, but you could actually start to approach engineers and discuss more esoteric things like aesthetic in design. How do you design something so it looks good? So we saw a bleed through.
Why would we ever
want
to do that? I don't understand.
The skeptic over to my right, what can I say? So we found that having someone like the graphic design department in actually sparked interest with the engineers.
It did.
And then they start paying more attention to how they're designing. And the generations now experience products that look really good. But for a long time, design was a bit of a skeptic about whether or not their products just needed to work well or whether they needed to work well and still have visual appeal. And I think just the whole revolution of ergonomics, and I'm going to credit it to, I don't know, am I allowed to say I'm on air, Scott? Am I allowed to say Apple and iPhone?
Yeah, you just said it.
So, I mean, the iPhone was one of those companies that when you picked it up, you're just like, man, this is sexy. You know, it's great. You look at the edges and all the attention's paid to detail. That's some of the critical building blocks that you get through something like a graphic design program. But then how do you start to apply that to your real world? And Sue, I'm really glad you talked about physically building something. And in my experience, designers tend to spend a little bit too much time in that perfect Euclidean geometry of their computer, where if you have a 1-inch peg, it will fit in a 1-inch hole, which isn't true in reality at all. And a lot of times, having to actually make something teaches you so much more. Just like, since I have an art background, if somebody can draw something, it's an indication that it shows your brain has learned what that is and how to process it. It shows that you understand how it physically occupies its space because you're able to depict it really well with just a pencil and paper. And that all translates into making something. So I would get designers in, and they would want to try and use materials that didn't really work for something. They wanted it too thin. They wanted to build it too big. And I'm going to go back all the way to Aristotle, who was the first person to call out the difference between idyllic design and the practical reality of building something. So graphic design is a really wonderful mix of having to balance practical in aesthetic with that whole creative and that intellectual and that theoretical. And then when you bring it into the lab, it just all seems to come together.
And I would totally agree with that. And I think it's interesting that you talk about the engineering students being motivated by seeing the design work, because I think the opposite is also true. Bringing that designer to a practical place where they understand the materials, the measurements, all those things make a huge difference. And I always tell my students, this doesn't end on the screen, because we have this focus right now of looking at our screens, and it's gotten, I think, even more so with phones and things like that. And when students actually have to print something or laser engrave something or print it onto the 3D printer, they have to think beyond that scope. And actually, we talked about the drawing, the modeling of creating something in three dimensions, especially with software, that does not always come naturally to a graphic student. And interestingly enough, the students who've played a lot of video games, they get that 3D space a little bit easier than someone who has not had that experience. So I'm always having to tell my students, don't forget there's a Z axis in there, because they will make something that completely is not connected because they haven't considered
esports, yo. And you know, now when I'm modeling 2D, I reach for the button that I think is going to orbit my plane like I would in 3D.
Right.
And when I don't have it, I'm like, whoa, how come I can't do the drawing?
So quick question. Do we at Gateway offer, as part of the graphic design program, do we offer video game making or designing?
We used to have a certificate that was a combination of IT and graphics that did video game art and things like that. So there was actually a course that was just dealing with video game art. But actually, what's happened in the past, I would say about 5 to 7 years, our curriculums have changed, and we have that sort of built into our classes. So if you take a class at Gateway in graphic design, chances are you're going to get a little taste of traditional advertising. You'll get a little taste of video, a little bit of taste of 3D, and they'll experience gaming graphics somewhere in their courses. Probably multiple places. We do have one course called Advanced Illustration, and that course focuses really heavily on three-dimensional creations, and there's video game graphics in there as well.
Awesome.
And that ties into Unity and Blender and all those other softwares that come along.
Yeah, and Scott, I'm glad you mentioned curriculum, so I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. One of the things that Sue and I both invested a lot of time in was we developed digital art curriculum. And if you listen to our digital art segment, you probably heard how we did a show with the Kenosha Museum, and we worked with artists who've been integrating computer into what they do for years, which is a huge misperception for a lot of people. They think it's relatively new, and it's like, nah, it's been around since the 50s and 60s even. Mm-hmm. So, lost my stream. You're going to have to clip this one out, Scott.
Okay.
So what we did was we sat down and we thought, okay, how do you take every normal discipline in art, some of the big ones, so there's painting, there's printmaking, there's photography, there's sculpture, and even ceramics, and how do you take them and look at each of those disciplines now in its standard conventional approach, but then how has that been affected by computers, by fab labs, by digital technology? And Sue and I sat down and wrote out workshops for each one of these disciplines, and we were working on curriculum for it at the time. And I would say Gateway was even ahead of the local universities in developing a way to bring digital art to its graphic design and its engineering. We even, I think, hybrided out the description so that you could talk about aesthetics in design, and engineers could take it as well as anyone who is interested in graphic design. So, Sue, talk a little bit about that.
Well, it was a 5-course certificate, and as some of you might know, Wisconsin technical colleges have kind of changed the way that they offer programs, and we don't do as many certificates as we used to. But I think it would be a fantastic certificate for people that were interested in working on both ends of that equation that we've been talking about, the sort of right brain, left brain of graphics engineering. there one course in particular that I would love to see offered soon is the one that is basically Fab Lab for artists, and it's you know, the course was designed as a 3-credit course to offer, not necessarily, it wouldn't have to be our students, it could be people from the outside just wanting to, okay, I'm an artist, how would I use this equipment, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I think there's still probably opportunity there. I think maybe we were ahead of our time.
And maybe we can revisit
and try again.
Yep, still pushing it, hoping, you know, keep your eye on it. Keep your eye on it for the future. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of artists just benefit from knowing the spaces that exist, like out at IMET Center, which is actually in Sturtevant on Renaissance Boulevard. We're open to the public. So if you want to experience it, you can come in and you can check it out. I know the library in Racine has put in a makerspace. So there is now some venues. And I think even the middle schools are starting to move in the direction of having it as well. But if I want to learn about graphic design, now graphic design, and we're going to have to tie it up here pretty soon, but graphic design is one of the most important aspects of learning art and aesthetics. And I say that because you start to look very, you look at all of the basic elements of art, like composition, color theory, even something as simple as picking out a font, which is very, very important. So I'm going to encourage anyone who's out there and interested to take a graphic design class, and then you'll probably find your way to the Fab Lab because of that. Scott, what do you think?
Just kind of piggybacking off of what you just said about middle schools there. So a lot of times, I mean, I got to tell you guys a story. So a lot of times I'm in the community. I do stuff, video stuff for schools or people or whatever. And so I'm doing a video for Indian Trail High School. And it was library month last month. So a state superintendent came and we shot a video. Well, I walked into the library and there's 3D printers in there. And I talked to the librarian. I said, you've got to meet my friend John Zern. And she's like, oh, I've heard all about him. I've heard all about the Fab Lab. So you're right. I mean, these machines are making their way even into middle schools.
No, and that's what's really cool about the technology, because you were right, Sue, about how the Fab Lab and that whole integration of everything was ahead of its time. Then when COVID hit, we pretty much sequestered everything. And that's what we're finally getting back out and reestablishing these connections, because what we found, especially during COVID, was it was the connections that made us so successful. And we lost that but the Fab mm-hmm. Lab is that connection point that ties our engineering and your graphic design together. Mm-hmm. It ties in a whole host of different things. And that's what's so special about the Fab Lab at the SC Johnson IMET Center, is this connection that ties. And whether it's the Fab Lab at the SC Johnson IMET Center or 3D printers at Racine or at Indian Trail, whatever, the whole concept still emanates from this collective concept of how we can use technology to integrate us with each other and better our entire environment.
Yeah, and I would say even just the evolution of the library itself is kind of what the Fab Lab is. It's, if you think about it, it becomes the center space for everything. Now, what I'm talking about with the middle schools is, I believe I probably shouldn't quote anything, so I'll paraphrase, but we're looking at the feasibility of putting spaces like this into middle schools for the K-6 range, and it basically becomes a part of the library. But now we can start doing more learning that's STEM-oriented, and I'm not a big fan of the word STEM, so if you hear me say integrated learning, that's my code for STEM.
STEM.
And the idea is just that we use the same principles as engineering, but we use them in every discipline. So, you know, what discipline doesn't measure stuff? What discipline doesn't benefit from having you build a project instead of just reading and memorizing stuff? Sue?
I think that's a critical piece of the puzzle, is that the Fab Labs or makerspaces or even mini makerspaces need to be close to the learner in order to really foster that partnership. And I think that's one of the things that I would like to see us moving towards, is having more of those makerspace pieces connected to our labs, so that when students come in, especially if they're getting this in middle school and high school, that they're also seeing a continuation of that at the college level here, especially at a technical college. I think that's really important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, the whole premise of Fab Lab was, you know, 5 pieces of computer-driven equipment, although one was soldering, so I guess that doesn't count. But it was 3D printing, desktop CNC, laser engraving, and vinyl cutting. And originally it was perceived as a revolution in manufacturing because any normal person could make almost anything with that equipment. And the equipment had become more affordable and easier to run because of computers. But the reality of FabLab was it was a revolution in education. We found out that if we applied all these principles of engineering to any division and, you know, and what doesn't measure and what doesn't quantify, how can you tell if you're going to get better at something if you can't measure it, right? Mm-hmm. So what we found is this really energized people to learn in these educational environments. And I'm glad you mentioned, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited to have graphic design here today, is because immediately graphic design saw all these puzzle pieces and was like, yeah, this is perfect for what we're doing. We need to integrate this more. And by doing so, you cross-platform your students, and we get that nice sort of synergy going between engineering and art. One of the things I find really intriguing to me is as I go out to these schools, I'll get people who are like, yeah, we're putting in a lab. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But they put it in the far end of the building, you know, on the other side of the of the shop. And really, these spaces need to be the heart of the building. The heart of any building should always be the lunchroom, of course, right, with the vending machines, and then the library and the fab lab. And that should be the center, the beating of everything. And many times it should be something that's accessible to the community as well as the school.
The accessibility piece is so important. Yeah. You don't want all your equipment walled off so that it looks like no one can use it, right? So I think that's a hard thing
you
for a lot
stay
of colleges.
You can't stay away from my equipment.
Well, you know, you have your budget. You have a limited budget. And you buy this great piece of equipment, and then you protect it. And I think that's something, a hurdle we have to get past also.
And that was something that was amazing at the SC Johnson IMET Center, is when we developed the Fab Lab, we put it in the center of the entire IMET Center, mm-hmm. which was huge.
Yeah.
Now, it took us a couple years to get the traction, but it became that communal place where everybody's tied in now. And it makes all aspects of engineering and beyond. There are things besides engineering, obviously, but engineering's still the best. But anyways, makes stuff so much more accessible to everything throughout our existence and throughout our education system. And it helps spur ideas that go beyond just the idea. It gets back to that coordination between entities. So you have the graphic design and the engineering working together. And that is the best way to model our industry, because nobody in industry does anything alone anymore. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got a quick question. We're running out of time here, but I'm an old school self-taught Photoshop guy, so I don't know much. Some of the stuff you guys are talking about kind of goes over my head a little bit. But in a brief, I should have asked this question when we started, because I know you're going to have a bunch of cool answers for it. But can you all tell me, what's the cool new graphic design trend?
Well, AI is a huge influence on software right now. So if you're into Photoshop and you go on to Photoshop right now, you're going to see all kinds of cool new things like sky replacement and object selection. And most of those new things are driven by AI changes in the software that make it much, much easier.
No, and that's one of the things that's really cool about the Fab Lab, in the sense that if somebody has an inspiration or an idea, you don't have to jump in right away to the high-end programs or the high-end training. You come to the Fab Lab, you get that initial training on the very significantly less costly equipment and software, et cetera. But then if you find something that you're really focused on, that's where our programs come in, because we offer that higher-end training at the SC Johnson mm-hmm. IMET Center for Engineering. We offer that at the various campuses for graphic design. You can get that higher-end training once you find out what you like.
And I know we're reaching the end of our segment. I want to thank Sue LeCon for coming out. Graphic design, you guys got a little bit of an origin story from us today, but graphic design is a perfect example of how the Fab Lab can help you connect to whatever it is you're learning, and how we can reach out in education and different disciplines. So thank you so much.
Thanks
you
very much.
Thanks for having us.
FabLab@gtc.edu. Remember, we really want to hear from you. We want to know, and we want you to help spread the word of the program. Second Saturday of the month, Fab Lab at 10 a.m., y'all.
Thanks so much to our guest, Gateway Technical College's Sue LeCan of Gateway's Graphic Design Program, and thanks to everyone for tuning in. Until next time, this is Scott Nelson of WGTD for the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show.